Thank you, Brother Mike. Appreciate that. You did a great job. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. It's interesting here in this first verse how that he wished that he could weep even more to rouse the people to a sense of God's impending judgment that was coming. I want to read in verse 1 through verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 9. Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, said the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, said the Lord. Therefore thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out that speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, said the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beasts are fled, they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps, and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without inhabited. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we just pray, Lord, that as we look at Jeremiah's heart, his burden that he had for the condition of his people, of his nation, his country, Lord, may you give us that same burden for people around us and for the lost world. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be preaching about having a burden for souls. And, you know, I can't think of a person that had a greater burden than Jeremiah. He carried a very heavy burden for his people. As I said, he's been known as the weeping prophet. And what's interesting, when you look at Jeremiah, you can see amazing similarities between Jeremiah and Jesus himself. You know, Isaiah, in Isaiah 53 in verse 3, it speaks about the Lord Jesus, and it says that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, I want to just point out in the introduction here tonight some of these similarities between Jeremiah and Jesus that I think are worth noting tonight. Neither of these, neither Jeremiah or Jesus were married. Both were rejected by their own towns. Remember, Jesus went to Nazareth, his own city, and they rejected him. Both were considered traitors by their people. Jeremiah, we read in his book that he was opposed by false prophets in his day. Viciously opposed, even persecuted by them, and and thrown into a pit to die. Jesus, he was persecuted by the scribes and the Pharisees. Both of them wept over the city of Jerusalem, had a burden for their people. Both predicted the judgment and ruin of Jerusalem. Both were arrested falsely and persecuted. Both emphasized the religion of the heart and not merely of the outward form and ceremonies. Both revealed a tender and sympathetic heart that was crushed by the wickedness of a nation that should have obeyed God's word. And in the end, it seemed that both were failures. But God honored their faithfulness and made their work successful. You know, tonight as we look at the burden that Jeremiah had for his people, I want to just say this. I made this similarity or this comparison because I want to say this. If we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to be his followers, then we must be brokenhearted and burdened for sinners like Jesus. Now stop and think about that one. You know, if we say we are the follower of Christ, we're going to follow Christ, we want to be like Jesus, we stop and think about our theme, I am here, where do I grow from here? Wherever we are, the growing is towards Christlikeness. That's our goal. We want to become parents, yes. We want to be spiritual parents and help others grow in the Lord. But really, the ultimate goal is Christlikeness, to be like Jesus. And if we look at Jesus, we see that Jesus was a man with a burdened heart. He was a man with a broken heart, broken for sinners. And so if we're going to be what God would have us to be, we need to develop that burden for the lost. And we need a revival of tears in our hearts to be broken over those who don't know the Savior. You know, tonight is we look at Jeremiah. I want to just mention three things about why Jeremiah wept. And as we see here in verse 1, that he said that, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears." I mean, he's talking about he's wishing it's even more than it was. He was weeping, but he was wishing it was even more because of the condition of his people. That's the first point. He wept because of the people's condition. You know, as we read through these few verses, you can see that he lived in a very wicked society where immorality was rampant, idolatry was being practiced. His heart was broken about this. He was broken by it. When he looked at the condition of his people, when he saw that, as he said in verse 2, they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They were not valiant for the truth on the earth. He said, "They don't even know me," said the Lord. They did not know the Lord. He was burdened about this, that the people of Israel who had a covenant with God, they should have known him. They should have had personal relationship with him. But the nation had gone to a place where they didn't even know him anymore. They were worshiping other gods. You know, I want to just look at some other verses. If you'll go back to chapter 7, really, if you read from chapter 7 through 12, you'll see that that's kind of like a unit in Jeremiah, the 7 through 12. But going back to chapter 7, I want you to just look in verse number 8. He says to them, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations'? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." You know what the people of Israel were doing? I want you to stop and think about this. These people of Israel, they were walking in all these kinds of sins and stealing and murder and adultery and swearing falsely, burning incense to Baal. They were doing all these things, but yet at the same time, they were coming into God's house to worship. You know, it's a sad thing. It was going on. Jeremiah was broken about it. His heart was heavy. You know, he said in verse 13 in chapter 7, "Now because you have done all these works, said the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. I have called you, but you answered not." I mean, it was sad. God was reaching out to them. God was speaking to them. God was sending prophets to them. He was sending Jeremiah to them and trying to open their eyes and get them to turn from their sin and turn back to Him. But it said they would not even listen. They would not even answer. You know, if you come to chapter, or look at verse 16, and then we're going to go to chapter 8. He said, verse 16, "Therefore, pray not for thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee." Boy, that's pretty serious. God told Jeremiah, don't even pray for them. They've gone to the point of wickedness and hardness of heart that I don't even want you to pray for them. Well, that's a pretty sad condition, I can tell you. You come to chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return." Pretty strong words. They perpetual backsliding. They were continuing just to go backwards, away further and further and further away from God. Listen, Jeremiah, why was he weeping? Why was he crying? Why was he saying, "Lord, I wish that my eyes were a fountain of tears"? It's because of the condition of his people. He was broken by what he saw around him. He was broken by the fact that all these people around him were living such wicked lives and they were not listening to God. You know, I think about our land, our nation, our country, the world in which we live today. It's not any different, is it? It's pretty bad. There's immorality everywhere. There's stealing, there's murder, there's swearing falsely. There's everything we read here we see in America today. We see it around the world today. You know, these things ought to break our hearts. You know, I want to just say that sin should make us angry, but sinners should make us broken. There's a difference. You know, we shouldn't get angry at sinners because, listen, they're only doing what they by nature are. They are sinners. Everybody here tonight is a sinner. The only difference being if you're a saved sinner, you've been redeemed by God, you have God's Holy Spirit living in you, helping you to live for God. Apart from the grace of God, we're all just a bunch of wretches. It's just by the grace of God we're saved. By the grace of God we're here tonight. And by the grace of God we want to serve God. But sin should make us angry, but sinners should make us broken. When we look around and see the condition, you know, as I shared this morning and I shared last week how that more than 2.5 billion people in the world today has never heard the gospel. They've never heard about Jesus. And yet we're content that we know. And we're content just to warehouse the gospel right here in church and not concerned about those outside the church that need the gospel. May God help us to weep because of the condition of our world today. But you know, Jeremiah not only wept because of the people's condition, but he wept because of the people's coldness. You know, by Jeremiah's standards, by the world's standards, Jeremiah was a ministerial flop. He was a failure. I mean, really, if you look at the standards of the world, I mean, how they judge preachers today, Jeremiah, I believe if Jeremiah would have been a missionary in 2018, you know what? We would probably drop his support. Most churches would drop his support. You know why? Because he didn't win any souls to the Lord. He didn't write in his letter, "Well, I had these many people saved, and I had this church started." No, he writes back and said, "There's nobody listens to me, and I'm in prison." I mean, we probably would have dropped this guy thinking, what's wrong with him? He's not producing any fruit on the mission field. Listen, I want you to understand there was a coldness to the Word of God in Jeremiah's day. No one wanted to hear what he had to say. In fact, he was put in prison for preaching. You know, back in chapter 7, in verse 23, it says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God. You shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, and it shall be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, went backward and not forward." He said, "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and did worse than their fathers." There was coldness of heart here. They were cold toward the Word of God. When Jeremiah preached the truth to them, they wouldn't listen to him. In fact, they wanted to silence him. They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to kill him. Jeremiah was broken about that. It was broken that people's hearts were cold. Listen, this same coldness to the Word of God prevails today. It's prevalent today. Anywhere you go today and preach the gospel, there's a coldness toward the Word of God. That doesn't mean we should stop preaching and give up, but I'm just saying it's reality. People are cold toward the Word of God. Many people have heard the gospel time and time again, but they reject it. You know, instead of being angry at someone by rejecting the gospel, it ought to make us weep. That's what it did to Jeremiah. It made him cry. It gave him a burden. He wept because of their condition. He wept because of their coldness. But thirdly, he wept because of the people's captivity. He saw what was coming. He saw that there was captivity coming. He saw that Jerusalem was going to come to ruin. He saw that it was going to become desolate. That people were going to perish. He saw it. Unless the people heeded his warning, it was coming. They would die. Many of them would die in captivity. Many of them would die in the process. You know, back to chapter 9, there's a verse that really caught my attention as I was reading this chapter, verse 21. Well, let's just start in verse 20. He said, "Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. For death is come up into our windows, and is entered into our palaces to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets." It says death has come up into our windows. Boy, that caught my attention. No matter how much they tried to shut their windows and doors, death came up into their windows. Death came up and took their children. Death came up and took their sons and daughters because of God's judgment. You know, we think of today of loved ones and neighbors that are spending, that will spend eternity separated from God in a lake of fire. That ought to cause us to weep. We ought to weep. You know, tonight as I talk about Jeremiah's burden, we see why he wept. He wept because of their condition, because of their coldness, because of their captivity. But I want to kind of shift gears now and ask this question: what is a burden? Because tonight I want to talk about, we talked about Jeremiah's burden, but I want to talk about us having a burden for souls. And what is a burden? You know, in a general sense, a burden is a load to be carried. It is a heavy thing to be borne with difficulty and labor. But I want to give you another thought. A burden is something which consumes you and affects the way you live your life today. That's the one I want to focus on. I want to say it again. A burden is something which consumes you and affects the way you live your life. You know, a burden you could have could be for a wayward daughter or a wayward son. That could be a burden of your heart. It could be a discovery of an incurable disease in one of your loved ones. That can be a heavy burden, or it could be financial distress. It could be the uncertainty of job security. There's a lot of burdens that we all have. We all have some kind of burden tonight. All of us. But what I'm saying, a burden that we should have is a burden for souls. We should have a burden for the condition of our country and the condition of our world, the condition of people without Christ. We should have a burden about that. We should have a burden about the coldness of people, even in our churches. Christians that are cold toward the Word of God. That should burden our hearts. We have a lot of Christians that are not in church, not faithful in church, not serving in church, not giving in church, not going out there with the Great Commission preaching the gospel. We have it today. Not just lost people, but in the church. That coldness should burden our hearts. And then people's captivity today, they're in captive to Satan and sin. And one day they're going to be captive in hell forever. That ought to cause us to weep. We ought to have a burden about that. You know, it's interesting. In the Old Testament prophets, let me give you an example. If you turn to Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah 13. We'll start there. What's interesting, when you start looking to the prophets, you're going to find that when the Lord would give a message to the prophet, many times it's called a burden. And let me just say this, and almost every time that I've read where it uses that burden, the word burden, it speaks of a judgment that's coming. That God has given his prophet some revelation about a coming imminent judgment, and it's called a burden. Now, in Isaiah 13, look at verse 1. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, did see. So here he gets this burden from the Lord concerning Babylon, how God's going to judge that nation of Babylon. It said, which Isaiah did see. He saw it in a vision. God gave him this prophetic vision, which is called a burden. Now look in chapter 14, verse 28 of Isaiah. It said, in the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. So there it's called a burden. Look in chapter 15, verse 1. The burden of Moab. Now here he's going to tell in this chapter about judgment coming upon the nation of Moab. It's called here again a burden. Look in chapter 19, Isaiah 19. Well, we see chapter 17, verse 1, the burden of Damascus. Chapter 19, verse 1, the burden of Egypt. And then chapter 21, verse 1, the burden of the desert of the sea. Chapter 22, verse 1, the burden of the valley of Vision. Chapter 23, verse 1, the burden of Tyre. So we could go on and on and on. And not only in Isaiah, but in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. It's in Malachi. It's in other prophets. And so what I'm trying to show you is this, is that God would give a burden to one of the prophets. It was a heavy load that he put upon them. It wasn't just a message. It was a heavy burden he put in their hearts about judgment. And it caused them to weep. And just like Jeremiah, he received these messages from God, these burdens from God. It caused him to weep. That's the kind of burden we're talking about. Now let me ask a second question. Why do we need a burden? Why do we need a burden? You know, let me tell you this. It is possible. I want you to listen to me. It is possible to give to missions, pray for missionaries, and even witness to the lost without a burden. It's possible. I know because I've done it. In my Christian life, I've done it many times. Let me tell you this. In our Baptist churches, we give, we pray, we witness most of the time for conscience sake. Think about it. We do it for conscience sake or just out of duty that it's something we have to do. But let me tell you this. A burden will cause you to do much more. A burden will cause you to do much more. That's why we need a burden. Three things. A burden will give you something to pray about. It will give you something to pray about. Isn't it true that we pray the hardest when somebody that's dear to our heart has got a very big life-threatening issue in their life? That's when we, I mean, when your lost loved one is, their life is hanging by a thread, you're willing to fast and you're willing to pray all night. You're willing to cry tears and beg God. Why? Because you're burdened about it. You have a burden. Your baby gets sick in the middle of the night. You have a burden to pray. Your wife gets diagnosed with cancer. You have a burden. You have a burden to pray about. You have a child that goes astray and goes out into the world. You have a burden, and it consumes you. It changes the way you pray. It gives you something to pray about. But number two, a burden will give you something to weep over. You know, it's sad today that how that we can weep watching a movie. They can watch some kind of girly movie. I mean, your husbands do your duty and watch a girly movie with your wife. A sad movie where you have to get Kleenexes to wipe your wife's tears. No, we want action. We want somebody blowing up something. But listen, it's sad that we can, as men, even cry over a baseball game. We can cry over different things, but not over lost sinners. As I read in Jeremiah, he said, "For death has come into our windows. Death has come up into our windows." You know, death is going to come up into the windows of family members. It's going to come up into the windows of loved ones. That day will come. Are they saved? Have we witnessed to them? Have we told them about the Lord? You know, that should give us, if we have a burden, it would cause us to weep over them, to pray for them. You know, right after he mentioned that about death, he says in verse 23 of Jeremiah 9, "Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, said the Lord." You know what he's saying? He said, you know what? If death is coming up into our windows, what does these things really matter? Why? Our riches don't mean nothing. You're not going to take it with you. Your wisdom, your mind, it's not going to mean anything when death comes up into your windows. Really, the only thing that's going to matter is if you know the Lord. Guarantee you that. I've been with a lot of people in hospice and watched them die and breathe their last breath. And listen, the only thing that really matters to them at that point is that their loved ones are around them and that they know the Lord. I've never heard anybody in their deathbeds boast and say, "You know what, Pastor, can you believe all the money I made in my life? Can you believe how smart I am? Can you believe all the things I accomplished? I never heard that at all, ever. But I hear them glad that they know the Lord is their Savior. But you know, there's a lot of people that don't know the Lord. There's a lot of people that can't say that. A burden number three will give you something to give to. It will give you something to give to. You know, if you have a real burden, guess what? It's going to break through the most selfish heart, and it's going to motivate you to embrace sacrifice for what your heart's broken over. You know, I want to say this. You don't really count the cost when you have a burden. Sacrifice is irrelevant. When you have a burden, I mean, you're willing to do whatever. You're willing to give whatever it takes. As I said, we can give to missions. We can pray for missionaries without a burden. But you'll do so much more if it comes with a broken heart that's burdened. Let me ask the last question tonight. Where do we get a burden? We ask, what is a burden? And we ask, why do we need a burden? But now, where do we get a burden? You know, it should be our desire to get a burden, really. It should be our desire to get a burden for the lost. Number one, a burden comes when we see people's needs. You know, it comes when we see and view people's needs. You know, Jeremiah, if you look at his the next book in Lamentations, this is another book written by Jeremiah. When you come to Lamentations, it's just the next book over from Jeremiah, and you come to chapter 3 and verse number 48. I want to read what it says in verse 48 through verse 51. Listen to what Jeremiah said. This Lamentations, and what is lamentation? It's weeping, it's mourning. This whole book is about Jeremiah's weeping. It's about his burden, his broken heart. That's what it's all about. And he says, "My eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. My eye affecteth my heart because all the daughters of my city." He said, "My eye affected my heart." You see, when he looked out there and he saw their condition, when he looked out there and he saw their coldness, when he looked out there and he saw their captivity, come and listen, Jeremiah, that what he saw, it caused his heart to be burdened. You know, that's why it'd be great for you if you took a missions trip somewhere to go and see it with your eyes. How many of you have followed John Pittman on Facebook in Nepal? Some of you have, a lot of you have. Isn't that a blessing to watch? Because to see their burden, you know, what they're seeing is just something they've never seen before. You don't see those sights in America. You don't see that kind of poverty and that kind of struggle. You don't see that kind of demonic oppression. You don't see that kind of darkness. Yeah, there's darkness here. Yes, there's demonic oppression. But, I mean, this is of a deeper, darker sort. I mean, just to see their burden, their heart's burdened by it. And listen, if you go to places like that and you see, it's gonna affect your heart. It's going to affect your heart. A burden, number two, comes through hearing the preaching of God's Word. You know, as I mentioned, you know, about the burden given to the prophets, Malachi 1:1 says, "The burden of the Word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Malachi 1:1. The burden of the Word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. You know what happened? God burdened the heart of Malachi through the Word of the Lord. God spoke to Malachi the word of the Lord. Malachi then preached to the people. And you know what? The people that heard it, then the burden was given to them. You know, we get burdened when we hear the Word of God, when we hear preaching of the Word of God. It burdens our hearts, especially if our hearts are tender. So a burden, how do we get a burden? Well, when we see people's needs, when we hear preaching of the Word of God. But number three, through prayer. Praying sincere prayer. You know, if our hearts are not burdened for sinners, you know what? We should pray about our lack of having a burden. If we find it difficult to pray for the lost, we ought to be praying about our prayerlessness. If we can't weep over our lost loved ones spending eternity in hell, we should be weeping because we have no tears for the lost. See, just like that baby's weeping. We should weep. You know, a burden comes through prayer. It's usually expressed in prayer. We read it this morning in Romans chapter 10. You want to go back there? We read Romans 10 this morning in the message, those first 15 verses. But let's look at verse 1 again. In Romans 10, verse 1, look what Paul writes here. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." His desire, his burden, his prayer was that Israel might be saved. We can get a burden through prayer, just by praying for missionaries, just by praying for needs around the world, praying for people. I remember one time when I was in Bible college that we were praying for this country. We were going through this book, this missions book that had these different countries, and it shared about their needs and what kind of religions were there. And there was one country in Africa, down just by South Africa, called Mozambique. And we read about that. Me and one of my friends, we were on our lunch break at work, and we read about that, and God just burdened our hearts. And we got down on our knees right there during our lunch break, and we started praying for this country. It was closed to missionaries, and missionaries couldn't go there. There was hardly any gospel witness whatsoever. The only thing they had there besides paganism was, and African religions, was Roman Catholicism. Besides that, they had nothing. They had no gospel. And our hearts just became burdened. We began to pray. I'm not making this up, but in all reality, in about a year or so passed, and a new edition of this book, it's called Operation World, is what it was called. A new edition came out, and I bought the new edition at the bookstore. And I went home, and I had been burdened about that country. You can ask my wife. That was one of the countries I considered to go as a missionary, because I was so burdened for that country. But anyway, I got this new edition and read that Mozambique had opened for missionaries. And it happened about the time that we had prayed. I couldn't believe it. But I'm telling you, prayer is vital to world missions, and prayer is vital to get a burden. It was through prayer that God burdened our hearts about that country, and I prayed for that country for many years, and we even helped get a missionary over there when I was in Dalhart. We had a missionary that went over there, Brother Rogers, that went to Mozambique with the gospel. You know, if our hearts become hardened and cold, we need to ask God tonight to break our hearts, to burden our hearts. You know, a lot of times when we pray, we come to these altars and we pray. What do we pray for? Let's be honest. What do we pray for? A lot of times we pray for blessings. Do we not? We come to these altars, we pray for blessings. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that's wrong, but what about coming tonight and praying for a burden? You know, Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit." Do you know that if we had a broken heart, if we had a burden, that we're going to be blessed? Because God's going to be so near to us. He's going to be near to us. Did you know that so many Christians, they say, oh, if we could just get revival in our church, if we just had a revival in our country, it would make all the difference. And it would, but how do we have revival? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever asked, how do we get revival? You know, we can have, you know, people say different things. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's one answer. But let me suggest another answer. Isaiah 57:15. For thus said the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Here you have the word revive used twice right here in this verse. It says that God is near, though he's high, and though he's holy, though he's transcendent. He says he dwells near those that are of a broken heart. Those are contrite, basically, is a broken heart. It's a heart that's been crushed. Contrite means a heart that's been crushed. A heart that's been broken. And he says, humble spirit. A contrite and humble spirit. He said that he is near them, and to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite one. So there you have it. If you want revival this week, if you want revival in our missions conference, it's not going to come with just having some great speaker come in and preach. It's not going to come to have everything just right in our missions conference. That's not how it's going to happen. It's going to happen in your heart. When we as a church are broken before God and humble before God, then God will revive us and be near us. Let's stand and pray. Let's stand and pray. Let's stand and bow our heads and for prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for Jeremiah having such a burden for his people, a burden for his nation. People that didn't know the Lord, people that were held captive in their sins and that were cold toward the Word of God. Oh, Jeremiah wept and for his people, for their condition, their coldness, and their captivity. And Lord, may we have that same kind of burden, just like Jesus, who wept over the city of Jerusalem, who was burdened when he looked out on the multitudes and he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Lord, may we have that same kind of burden as we look out there and we see the needs around the world. We see the needs just around us, our family, our neighbors. You know, people that are lost, people that need the Lord. Lord, we have the answer. And Lord, you've called us to do something about it. You called us to take the message to them. And Lord, we sometimes make all kinds of excuses, and really it all comes down to the fact that we just don't have a burden that we need to have. Our hearts are not broken. God, it's good for us tonight to all pray for that. Pray for you'd give us broken hearts. And Lord, as our missionaries prepare to come this weekend and share their burden, Lord, that our hearts would already be burdened, that we would already be broken about the need of the lost, and that we'd be prepared to do what you called us to do. Lord, we're not asking people or pressuring people to do anything that you didn't call them to do. We're just asking for everyone to do exactly what you want them to do, to be willing servants and to go where you send them, to pray and to give as you want us to give. Lord, tonight, as we open these altars, we pray that you would just work in hearts and have your way, have your will. And Lord, that you would just give us a heart that's heavy with burdens for those that need Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.